She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that the four of them habitually listen to the Going Off podcast.
Oh.
Off-goers. It's the Going Off podcast with Rap Critic and Muse. Bow now now.
That's right.
Anyway, RC, how have you been doing?
I just dropped that song with a Vampside Norman. Only the patrons are hearing it so far, but I let the intro clip be heard. And, you know, I don't want to give that away if you haven't heard it yet, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, ah, go listen to it if you want to hear the, whet your appetite and then want to go listen to it more. But, yeah, me and Vampside Norman, we, you know, hooked up on something, maybe doing some future shit in the future, but, you know, yeah. You know how this internet shit works, scheduling, permitting. I'm amazed we put that together. But yeah, so that's what's going on my end, you know, that's what I got going on, you know. And then other shit that I got working on in the future, like I'm trying to like release at least a song once a month or every other month or something like that for patrons, and then do with all the bullshittery behind the scenes applying for this form and that form that you have to do with, you know, music shit to officiate it, you know what I'm saying? But it's the shit work you have to do, you know, it's like...
This week we got two very different in genre and style, but they're both very socially conscious albums, which is interesting. We got Brutalism, which is the debut album from Idols, who we've talked about on the show before, Dr. Goatman.
The intense British person.
Yeah, it was just screaming a lot.
Oh my goodness.
And then later in the show, we got Brass by More Mother and Billy Woods. So... yeah, we got our work cut out for us.
That's right. Starting with this first album requested by Dr. Goatman, Brutalism by Idols. How'd you feel about this once more into the breach of this insanity?
You know, RC, I liked it a good bit, but I just don't know if Idols is really my shit.
I feel you. I feel like they start strong every time, but I feel like about halfway through, I'm also kind of like... we're still kind of here, you know.
You know, see, I actually beg to differ, at least for my opinion. I thought the album actually kind of started out a little weak, because they repeat so much.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, oh my goodness. Okay, so that's what I was thinking of. The first two tracks, yeah, they both have hooks that are about done and being done. And I was like, wait. Didn't you already do that? Because I heard the first track where he's like, I'm done. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking dope. Like, oh, this is fucking, you know,
he's done.
Real, like, Kurt. And then the second one is like, well done. And
well like, done. It's like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? Yeah, so the second song is like, you know, everyone has why don't you get a job? Even Tom Quinn has a job. Mary Bear's got a job. So why don't you get a job? Well done. Yeah, I guess in a jokey sort of like, oh, you did what society told you to do, I guess. But then it goes on to like, why don't you have a medal? Even Tom Quinn has a medal. And, you know, already I'm like, I don't know who Mary Berry and Tom Quinn are. I'm already feeling lost.
You don't know who Mary Berry is?
British references here. I'm like, I thought it was Marion Barry. I was like, oh, is he talking about
I did too. Look, RC, I thought that was a very weird reference to make. The fucking, what, the mayor of DC?
DC in the 90s?
Who was arrested for, like, possession of cocaine.
Smoking crack and, like, having a prosecutor.
Smoking crack! Yeah!
That bitch set me up.
Yeah, no, instead, they're talking about one of the hosts of the Great American British Baking Show.
Yeah, and there's apparently a
Great
couple
American,
of, like...
Great American British Bake Off. That's it.
But no, but then, like, you know, you think this song is like, okay, it's repetitive, but maybe they're trying to make a point. Then it gets later on in the song where it's like it's doing the same thing where it feels like it's asking the question of like, why aren't you conforming to the standards of society? But then he goes like, why don't you like reggae? Mary Berry likes reggae, so why don't you like reggae? And I'm like, wait, what? And then like I had looked up at this point, oh, Mary Berry, this British woman, and I'm like, why is it, the norm to like reggae for old British birds? Like, what's going on?
Did you actually see the annotation that said, whether or not Mary Berry likes reggae is unknown? Like, I think they're just taking the piss at this point.
I can imagine not, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out entirely.
I mean, okay, you know, maybe she likes her Bob Marley, you know.
RC, I'm very sorry to break in with more breaking news. Have you heard about Chance the Rapper?
What?
Well, what's one thing, if I asked you, what's one thing you know about Chance the Rapper?
Ooh, he loves his wife?
He loves his wife, right?
Uh-huh.
They're getting a divorce.
I was just about to fucking say it!
Oh, no!
God damn it, man! It's just like, look. If you make a whole ass fucking album about how, ooh, I love my wife, I love her, you'd better be dedicated. Shit had better be okay.
I was telling Nebula before we started, have you ever seen the old guys driving their cars and they literally have a I heart my wife bumper sticker? It's like, you know, that's some bullshit. Like, either the wife bought that, or...
and can't get rid of it because it's hard to get it off the...
Yeah, like, it is a pain in the ass. Or if, like, oh, you know, he's working with some young woman, I need to make sure that everyone knows he's married. I don't know. But yeah, poor Chance. I don't mean to make light of his situation. I'm sure it's terrible. But... you got to at least address the elephant in the room.
You overplayed your hand with the wedding album, maybe.
Hand, I get it, because his hand was on the album cover.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
With that see-through thing. Like you could see through the marriage.
Yeah, with the sequins on it, wasn't there?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was. I thought it had spikes on it.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
It reminded me of those, like, mats you put under your, like, computer rolling chair.
Yeah.
And it has the spikes that, like, grip into the carpet. Yeah, it reminded me of that, but, like, flipped over. I was like, I know, like, it can't be that.
There's, like, not enough in the background to really tell if, like, what is happening in the background. Like,
what was that album called? Like, New Day?
The Big Day.
Big Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? Ew, yeah, I hate that cover, it's terrible. It's like a Bejeweled, you know when you get a stack of 100 CDRs?
2000s energy, yeah.
And there's that one that lays on top as like a protection thing?
Yep.
That's what it looks like, but...
they definitely got one of those and just put Bejeweled shit on it.
Weird. It said, here, hold this up in front of a kid's basketball hoop and a tool shed.
Yeah. But, oh my god, that album's bad. And it's like, because I'm just remembering the hot child, hot that. It's like, come on, man, you couldn't have thought that was good.
God, I don't even remember any of the songs on it. The only thing I remember off the Big Day was the skit where you heard,
oh lord,
what's her name? The skits are bad. the one actress who did Susie Carmichael and... like, every black girl character in cartoons ever.
Cree Summer!
Yeah, can you hear Cree Summer in the skit being a kid again, of course?
Yeah, and granddad from the Boondocks, John Witherspoon. Like,
they got everybody. All the stars are here.
And they did not get an acting coach.
No, it was bad. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh my lord.
I love that when you search up the Big Day Chance the Rapper images, the title card for Fantano's review of it pops up, and it's just him making this really, really disgusted face wearing a red flannel. Like, you just know.
Oh no.
Yeah, look at that thumbnail. God damn. He looks so sad.
Wait. Wow, that is a particular face.
It's not sadness. It's not anger. It really is disgust.
It's disgust with a tinge of disappointment. Like, you can tell there was expectation and you're like, huh, this is what we got?
What the fuck is this?
That's poetry in a thumbnail right there.
But brutalism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Let's get back to the brutal shit. Now, I feel like as a general like, vibe, as a general aesthetic, you know, overall, this album kind of rocks. Like, I enjoy it for the most part, but it does feel, and even as I'm saying, I enjoyed the earlier tracks more than the later tracks, I feel there were some, having some issues with the earlier tracks as well. But like, I still enjoyed the intensity, like, from track to track, you know what I'm saying, on an experience, you know, on an experience level, you know?
Oh, for sure. They're super intense. I love that.
Yeah, like, I love Mother. I mean, even as I'm saying it, there was, like, the hook. When we got to it, I was like, so I thought the hook was, I know nothing. I'm just sitting here looking at pretty colors. I know nothing. I'm just sitting here. Because that felt like the sort of, like, he's talking about his mom working a hard job, and, like, that's kind of, like, repeated for a while. And then it feels like the hook is like, and, oh, my God, what am I doing? I'm just fucking, I don't know what the hell's going on while all of this society's screwing over my mom. I'm just, like, watching TV, you know? Then apparently the hook is just, mother, fucker.
Fuck her.
And I'm like, really?
Mother, fuck her.
It's like, I get it. Yes, yeah, society is fucking her. I get it. I was just, it just seemed like the, I know nothing. I'm just here looking at it. That felt like
pretty
the hook.
Colors. Yeah, absolutely should have been, but, you know. Yeah, I don't know if it was written before or after, but the guy's mom actually passed away during the making of the album. So this was like kind of like a tribute track in a way of like, man, here's all the shit she had to deal with to like support me.
Provide,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's the picture of his mom on the album cover.
Yeah, on the
cover.
Yeah.
Then you get Date Night. Super intense. I think this was like opus of the album, because this is the part where he just kind of flails at certain parts, where he's like sat in a taxi all clad in black. I'll never lie. Like, he was like,
whoa, hold on.
And then, oh yeah, did you see the thing about them? The lead singer wearing a dress in the performances and stuff.
I was trying to figure out,
you know, because I was like, oh, you know, let me be respectful. Okay, what's going on here? And it's like, oh, no, he's totally cis. He's just doing it as a sort of like, we should be challenging masculinity anyway. And so who the fuck cares what I decide what it is? In fact, that's the most masculine thing you could do, is be like, I'm deciding what my masculinity is. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, dude's a fucking badass. I've seen so many clips of him on TikTok and shit. And it's like, don't fuck around with this dude. Like, he's kind of scary to me.
Yeah, honestly. It's like, it's one of those, like you hear the album, and then you see the album cover, and it's like, it almost looks like he's defiant. It's like, yeah, wearing a dress, do something about it. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you heard that music, and you were seeing me wearing a dress. Did you got something to say? You know?
And he's like, he's a pretty funny dude. It's just like, why would you want to fuck with this guy?
Yeah, and then what was it later on? He's like, I don't give a fuck about me or you. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and then the tail end of the song, he just goes, yes, no,
no,
yes, no. And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I agree every time for some reason. Like, yeah, I mean, no, yeah.
You're just yelling along to the album.
I agree. Then Faith in the City. Another, like, crusher of a track. Oh, there's no God in the city. And then the way, like, the verses go on, like, Uncle Noel's got cancer in his brain. Uncle Noel's got cancer in his lungs and his brain. I thought it would tear that man apart. Luckily, Uncle Noel's got Jesus in his heart. And it's just so this, like, weird, like, contradictory, like, what is happening right now? What is he trying to say? But it's jamming into your face so hard. You're like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, there's a message in a lot of these songs, and they're lost on me most of the time. Like, I understand that Faith in the City is kind of challenging the whole, like, thoughts and prayers kind of mentality, I guess.
Right, right.
Of like, hey, you know, I've got cancer in my lungs and my brain, but, you know, I believe in Jesus, so I'm okay. It's like, well,
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, okay. But, like, earlier in Well Done, you know, you're like, why don't you get a job? Everyone's got a job. Barry's got a job. It's like, yeah, okay. And then later it's, why don't you watch football? It's like, what? Why is it a big deal if I watch football or not? And at the end he's like, I'd rather bite off my nose to spite my face. Like, are you that against football? Like, I'm confused. Like, I was sitting here like, are you just using these things as an examples of the norm in general? Or are you seriously taking a stand against football? Like, I wasn't sure why that was brought up. But, like, you're making a joke about it by bringing up this old British woman. So I was like, okay. So are you joking around or are you being serious?
And I'm trying to be like, is this just British humor or something? Like, am I just not
it? Could be.
Because, like, later on he brings up another old British woman who's probably a part of high society, but, like, not in a way that seems
directly... Oh, the Rachel Koo song.
Yeah, where I was like... he was saying it in such a snide way to be like, oh, Rachel Koo. And I'm like, oh, is she like Margaret Thatcher or some shit? It's like, oh, she's like a cook or something like that.
She hosts a cooking show. I realized, when I said Rachel Koo song, it almost sounded like Kangaroo song. Like, we're in Big Daddy. Rachel Koo song! Rachel Koo song! All right! I'm going to go to an idol show. And I'm gonna yell Rachel Koo song, Rachel Koo song until they play it. Anyway, then 1049 Gotho, where it's just my friend is so depressed, and it's just like it talks about all these depressed friends. The part that stood out to me is like my friend is so depressed, she wants to have sex. I took a piss in the sink while she got undressed. Like,
okay, you're not supposed to do that. Like, what's happening?
But is this the British humor? RC, I gotta tell you,
The British people?
I'm a little rusty. I grew up on Monty Python, but, like, that's pretty dated by this point.
Not exactly
the current modern British sense of humor, I would imagine. A dead parrot. Yeah. Is it gonna fly as well today as it did back then?
Yeah,
wink, nudge, nudge.
Pissing in the kitchen sink that's the modern British humor. Get with the times.
Yeah, yeah. That probably means something.
Yeah,
it's probably slang.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, it just didn't feel like it connected. Like, oh, my friend's so depressed. She wanted to have sex with me. Okay, all right. You know, sex does help, Yeah, you know, and then I pissed in the kitchen sink as she slowly undressed. Why did you think that was the, you know, like, it's like, oh, don't worry, I can't make it to the bathroom. Look, you're already in the bathroom getting undressed. I'll just pee over here. Like, no, you can.
He's painting a picture at the very least, you know, I'll give him that.
And then Divide and Conquer.
And Conquer, I thought this one went hard as shit. Like, it's very scarce on the lyrics, but musically, this one was like the hardest one.
Yeah, I think it had a cool. It definitely had a cool, like, little breakdown as it got to the third part of the track. But yeah, I was a little underwhelmed by, like, it seeming like it was about to start something, you know, lyric wise, and then just saying divide and conquer. You know, it was kind of like, oh, and then it was just like, oh, is this almost over before it even began? Like, you know, it was like one of those feelings. Then Rachel Koo. Yeah, this one he talks about his parents a bit. Then he drops the Rachel Koo name, and I'm like, did she do something? You know?
So,
I was like, what does that have to do with your parents?
So from basically what I get is, like, the song is about being home, like, I guess either being jobless or being out of school or whatever, and Rachel Koo would have a cooking show that would be on early in the morning, so it's like, it's a show that you wouldn't really get a chance to watch if you were working or if you were at school, but because you're home, you kind of, like, associate Rachel Koo with that. Like,
in the same way of, like, you know, with TV in the 90s, where you'd be going off to school right before, like, oh, what show is that? This American Life, and we're going to show you, what the fuck would it be? Like, I don't know, some guy fishing or some shit.
This American Life, wow, that's a cut. I was going to say, when you were home for summer vacation, you could watch The Price is Right in the morning.
Oh, right, sure.
That's a kind of similar thing of, like,
yeah, I was trying to think of a morning thing, but then I'm always out by the time that comes. Like, I was having that moment where I was thinking of Beavis and Butthead, where they said, like, you know, they were watching TV, and it was, like, Good Morning America or something like that. It's like, hello, you know, so-and-so, how are you doing? Couldn't be better. And, you know, and Beavis and Butthead were like, do you think they put these crappy shows on in the morning to, like, make us have to go to want to go to school? And, like, and Beavis is like, yeah, I think so. Butthead, I think it's working.
I actually got a quote from a Genius annotation. It says, It was supposed to be a love song dedicated to nihilistic, drug-addled mornings of wishing for a better future after sadly wasting any opportunity of one. Instead, it's just a stupid fucking song, but I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright, you know, as long as he's happy with the product and as long as he has his intention, you know, it's all that matters at the end of the day. Yeah.
See, like, that's a mentality I like, where you're making an album, you have these songs finished, you took all the time to record them and edit them and all that, and then you're just sitting there like, the song's fucking stupid, but, yeah. I mean, I like it, so put it on the album, I guess. Like,
I already did it now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Then, what was it? Oh, Stendhal Syndrome. One of my more favorite tracks. Just the way he's talking to Courtney. You see that painting what Rothko did? Looks like it was painted by a 2-year-old kid.
He's not putting up with any bullshit in this one.
You see that selfie what Francis Bacon did? Don't look nothing like him. What a fucking dip.
And then you look at it, and it's like, oh, it's because it's like,
yeah,
it's like Picasso shit.
It's so that, like, you know, the ignorant, you know what I'm saying, down home, go, oi, what's all this, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, seeing all these paintings, oh, what's all this uppity nonsense, you know?
I like this quote, by the way. It's and the way he put it goes, ignorance is bliss, yeah? Well, I'm not pleased. Because you spread your opinion like a wretched disease. Like, the like, wording damn. On that is so cool. Like, goddamn.
Oh, man. And then Exeter?
Exeter, so, yeah.
What was going on with this track?
I wasn't feeling that one. I liked it musically, but I was bored, pretty much.
Just the fact that, like, okay, so the first half of the track is him doing those lyrics. The first two verses was like, it seems like no one cares, I think I'll take the stairs, cause nothing ever fucking happens. He punched himself in the face to prove he wasn't gay, cause nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Like, what is this about? And then it gets to, like, the last part, which I don't think is related. Like, it felt like it was just like, oh, I live in a small town, and, you know, people just do dumb shit because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to have, just to feel something, I guess, you know? But then he says, like, oh, I dropped my knees and prayed to Jesus, please. Well, something fucking happened. Then they killed poor George dead. They put a hammer through his head. Now nothing ever happens. Like, what is that? What does now nothing ever happens mean? And then when you look it up, it's like some random event where, like, this had happened. But I was like, what does that mean? Like, was it, you know what I'm saying? It just seemed like it was some random 16-year-old who got mixed up, you know what I'm saying, with the wrong crowd or some thugs or something like that. And I just, like, I just didn't understand what he was trying to do with that. And then,
yeah, he's not going to spell out every little thing, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like, violence sure do be violence in this world, you know? Because especially when it gets to the end and it's just a so-and-so joined into the fight, and then so-and-so got into a bar fight, then shit-eyes got into a bar fight, and so-and-so got into a bar fight. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Everyone's getting into a bar fight, you know?
Fucking Chapel Rowan getting into a bar fight.
Oh, yeah.
At the Pink Pony Club, she's starting
shit. Cracking someone over the head with a pink that's table. Not table. The fucking, god damn it, what are those things called? Bar stools.
Because everything good happens after midnight.
But, then you get Benzocaine.
Benzocaine is a fire track. I like that one.
Yeah, I like the ha-ha-ha, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, although I was writing about how I felt about this one, I was like, I liked it fine, and I felt like I would like it better if it was a single that was being like, hey, listen to what else is going on in this album. But I feel like by this point, this track felt like a bit of a step down relative to the things that were happening before. I don't know, like, it just felt like I got that feeling of if I heard this track by itself, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. And now that I've heard the rest of the album, I'm getting to this track, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like the, you know what I mean? This feels like it should have been the first track or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But then we get White Privilege, which definitely kicks things back up.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. The first lyric was like, how many optimists does it take to change a light bulb? None. The butler changes the light bulb. It's like, oh, the social commentary. Always poor, never born.
Fuck yeah.
What the fuck?
It says, while some took this song to be a comment on how white people can also live in poverty, Talbot actually wrote the song about his time in university, where he and his white privileged friends wasted opportunities and money on drugs. The realization that he was using people's tax money just to mess around hit him hard. The message gets a little muddy for a good bit of it to me, like, you know, like, I'm talking about all these people messing around, and it's like, okay. But then it felt kind of shamey to, like the woman who got, like, abortions, so I was like...
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what that was about.
Socks. Yeah. It's like, it just feels like, after a while, you know, when you're listening to it for the first time, it feels like there's a whole bunch of rage, and you want to be like, I want to get to what the specifics are on my second listen. And then I get to the second listen, I'm like, what? I'm getting that System of a Down feeling of, like... Oh, was this that well plotted, or is there parts where it was, and then other parts where you're like, well, now that I said that part that I wanted to say, I'm just gonna kind of say something else, you know? Like,
look, RC, I've been listening to 90s and 2000s alternative. I found a playlist that's 100 hours, so it's like
nice.
Every fucking song from that time period you could ever want and more. And System of a Down comes up every so often, and like. I like System of a Down, right? I don't have a problem with them.
Pull the tape out of your ass.
But there are so many songs where it's just like, I don't know what the fuck you're trying to say here, man. Like, one where it just like lists food. I'm just like, what's the point of this one?
Or it'll be like, a really, really serious, important thing about the prison system and how it's all fucked up, very specifics about it, and then a horse that's a jet pilot flying over a bay. And it's like, what? Huh? A horse is a jet pilot flying over a... What? What does that mean?
The one
that
I heard...
That can't mean anything.
The one I heard this morning was... Peter's pecker picked another pickle baron pussy pepper. Why? Okay. Meeting John and Dale Jr.'s winking an eye and pointing a finger. Why? I'm like, what?
What is that? That means nothing!
And then you click on it, and it just tells you the history of Peter Piper. It's like, okay.
Genie, you're not helping. Wait, there's one part that I actually really did like where he was, like, fucking cooking on the white privilege joint where he says, like, he starts singing to the tune of that Beatles song, but it's, like, you hear it in the mix of, like, what this song sounds like, so it's so, like, craggy, but in the perfect way. He's like, I could have danced with another because she passed out on your stairs.
I actually wrote that, too. I was like...
Yeah, I was like, holy shit.
That was a nice little touch, like a random interpolation.
Like, I wanted to hear more of that.
I know! Yeah!
Then Slow Savage, ooh, we slow it down a little bit for the final track. I was like, okay. And just to give you a little bit of the man's self-shame all in your face. Now, I feel like his enunciation is a little, like, overly done on some bits of the track, but it's at this point, it's so, like, his craggy style that it's kind of like, all right, I guess that's just how he is at this point, you know? But when he gets to the die-da-die-dies on the hook, that actually still sounded really good. But just the hook where you go, I mean, not the hook, the verse where he's like, for 2 years in a row, I forgot your birthday. For 2 years in a row, I thought it was Thursday. Maybe it was God. Maybe it was Coke. Maybe I'm a drunk. I don't know. But at least now I remember your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so the, now that you're gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh. Overall, what would you give this album?
Oh, I gave it a 4.
I also gave it a 4. Yeah. I think it's a solid outing for sure, but definitely some incohesiveness that, like, is more than a bit noticeable. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a certain way to do things where it's like, oh, but it just flowed so well that it doesn't really matter what they were saying because they were able to put it together. With this, it's so abrasive that you have no choice to be like, oh, that's right, I am hanging on to every word. And then it's like, wait, was every word really that well thought out? Because what was this about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I like the intensity, I like the dude's voice, I like all the songs musically. It's either just, I kind of had to make a little note to remind me what the song was about, because I wasn't going to remember. Or the message just kind of got lost on me, which is probably on me, and it's not up to him to, like... You know, A, B, C, every fucking point he's trying to make.
Sure, and like, the way I feel, if the song is doing a good enough job, you know, for you to, like, you know what I mean? Where something is so doing a good job, where you're like, I don't know what the fuck that's about, but I don't give a shit. But with this, it didn't quite make that with one track more than another concerning this album. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. From there, we head on into our second album here, Brass by More Mother and Billy Woods. Was this the Wrist of Kings request?
That's right. Yes, thank you so much. So this album is so... Good friend Muse, have you ever...
have you ever? That's me!
I'm sure you listened to a bit of Wu-Tang Clan in your life.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever remember an MC by the name of Master Killa and what his flow possibly sounded like?
I wouldn't be able to replicate it right now, but I'm sure I've heard it.
Yeah, have you heard Capadonna's flow and what that sounds like?
You're getting a bit more obscure, RC. You're starting to lose me, but I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, maybe you remember the Ice Cream song from Raekwon's album, the famed third verse. What is it? I want you for self, like wealth, so play me closely. Bitches paranoid for my stinger, want the most of me. Only a heart doesn't want to be called to be cousin. I'm thirsty for the catalog, fancy got a 311. Call me if you want to get dunked like the pockets. I just am like a giant. It's just so this, like... labored flow, and it's just like, just say the thing. Why are you saying it like this? And here's my thing. Sometimes that can work very well when someone is doing it. Like we listened to that one that album by Ka. Remember him? It was like the Firehouse album or something like that. Or something. There was some album that we listened to where it sounded like it was like tomes of Egyptian, you know, that sort of shit, where it felt really descriptive and specific. And like, so the flow, as it's like dancing against the cragginess of the beat, has its own sort of cragginess that's working with it. Like, what I say all that to say, there is a way to do the, ooh, we're not necessarily playing on the time type of flow sort of thing, you know? But it's a very fine line, and it is so hard to just fall into. It just sounds like you're just talking off beat, you know?
I think that's why it kind of like, I liked the album when I heard it the first time, when I wasn't taking notes.
Right.
But something about it, man, like, I like what they're doing. I like what they're trying to get across here. I like the messages of the songs.
I like the imagery sometimes, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very thoughtful album. I like everything, you know, on that side of it. It's just, I can't, like, their flow isn't interesting enough to really capture my attention.
Mm.
And because it's, like, a very woke album that's, like, really putting the what they're saying ahead of the music itself.
Right, time to think about everything they're saying. And, yeah, because they're trying to teach you a lesson about the gods and the earths and the five percenters or something.
They're, like, they're not putting the effort into creating a captivating beat because they don't want to distract from the lyrics.
And I'm
stuck with, like, what is for me here?
And I will say this much, too. It's like, because I think there is a way to do... So, like, sometimes what they'll be doing just sounds like slam poetry, where it kind of works, especially with More Mother. I think More Mother has a more interesting, like, vocal delivery, especially when she gets a little harsh at times, you know, when it gets a little, like, punk rock with how she's saying the shit.
Yeah.
But early on when she, like, the very first line where she's just saying planetary orbits and temporal numbers, ancient mathematical astronomy, Mennonites, children, time and space reunited, and I'm just like, okay, none of that rhymed, but you gotta know that, right? So are we doing a thing? We're doing a thing right now, right? It's like, oh, slam poetry thing. But then it'll, like, kind of flow into kind of doing rapping, but so in that jagged thing where it's like, I can't tell if this is on purpose or if you can't catch the beat. You know, like, I legitimately can't tell at certain points, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it becomes distracting where it's just like, and then there were certain times where it's like, okay, I get it. You know, if you're like, this is just how it came out with, you know, how the flow kind of worked and the beat is so interesting and experimental that we're just kind of going with this, taking out sound. But like on verses, I can get it if you're just rapping into the verse and getting into it and, you know, you don't want to retake something. But there will be certain hooks where they'll say something in such a craggy, awkward, offbeat way that I'll just be like, okay, you could have said that more, like, flowing way. You know what I mean? You could have said that in a more clear way. And it just seems like the problem is you know what I'm saying? You're just not, like, trying to make this palatable, you know? And it's like, I guess that's fine, but it's like, you know, you can't complain if people are like, I don't want to listen to it because I can't tell where you're going with the flow, and it feels like it's just kind of like, you know, I heard someone say it sounds like a pregnant flow, you know, that's sort of like, it's like laboring to get from the next line to the next. Time and space reunited, selling the I wish there was a beat going underneath me so you could feel just how much, like, against the time that it's going, and it's just like will you just say it? You know?
It definitely has an intended audience in mind, I think, and it doesn't really care if it doesn't resonate with anybody else. It's like, you know, it's very intentional. They wanted it to sound like this, and I respect that. But, yeah, it just didn't really click with me.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't supposed to. I don't know.
Like I said, like, certain lines in his verse sounds really, like, interesting. Imagery was like, the night hides in caves and holes whispering. She answered, open robe, black body glistening like she swallowed the sun. Shook it off like a fever, run its course. And what did I want? What did I want? What did I want? Like, there's this, you know, fun sense of, like, abstract, like, ooh, we're kind of, like, following this, like, imagery, and where's it going, and the personal journey, and da-da-da. And, you know, sometimes it sounds cool, and other times it sounds pretentious and up its own ass, you know? Mm. It's like, and it's really dancing on that line, and not dancing it very well, you know? But again, I do want to give it its props, where, like, other times it'll be, like, you know, low-lying cloud, crowd the church spire, the first liar played the liar, so sweet the furies weep, might let me be before they tear a piece each, like he promised Persephone swam about the deep. Like, it's just interesting little things of like, ooh, that's an interesting kernel of imagery there, you know, but it never really feels like it coalesces into anything, you know? And mm-hmm. The most that it does is on a track later on the album where I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? But yeah, the blues remembers everything the country forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting track title. Kind of wish other track titles were like that, but this is the only one that does that. But, and unfortunately, it ends up being a little more underwhelming than I feel like the title kind of ends up telling you. That said, it is weird. Is this the one where, like, a singer starts off? Because the first track is like, oh my god, we're going to get this jagged. We're so underground and, you know, dirty and dusty beats, sir, you guys, you know, like, oh, we're not even trying to make it sound, you know, accessible. And then the very next track was like someone singing, like, very clearly. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we are trying to do a little bit of something. But then it just went right back to the same shit of like, oh, I think, yeah, More Mother was okay on this track. And then Billy Woods kind of came in and it was just like, he was just repeating shit and repeating things that she had already said. And I was like, okay, this is supposed to be about the lyricism, so why, when we're getting to your verse, there's barely anything being said that isn't just being repeated half the time, you know? So I was like, mm-hmm. What is going on here? Yeah. And then you get Maroons. I thought the instrumental for this was interesting, with how the somber trumpet blare kind of felt like it wasn't being used the traditional way of just like highlighting a beat, you know. It felt like it was like being cut up and kind of moved around in an interesting kind of way. But again, this instrumental just feels too dusty and jumbly to really get into it. And like I said, like, it ends up, their flows just end up getting lost in the mix as well, where I'm like, I don't want to be attached. I don't want my brain to attach to every word that they're saying, you know, because mm-hmm. it feels like I'm pushing against the tide of the music to try to catch on, you know.
Yeah.
Then what was it? Rapunzel. This is the one, yeah, where the hook was like, I like the cool imagery, but it's so weirdly jagged. Where it feels like, I'm like, what are you, you could have, like, delivered this better. Where he goes, like, the hook is like, occluded moons, black flowers at the tomb, speakers hiss in an empty nightclub, the city home, tinnitus, flyness on your eardrum, mosquito bias. And I was like, it almost sounded good, but it just felt like there was, like, just this shellac of, like, crustedness over the flow of it. And I was like, just say it like it flows. Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kept pissing me off, where it's like, there's really no way you could have flowed that better. Really, no way, you know?
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, wait, was that the hook? No, that wasn't the hook. Yeah, I'm sorry, that was the first verse, where it was like, oh, like, because I liked some of the imagery, but it was just like so jacked with what it was saying. The hook is like, Rapunzel's hair kept growing, and the nails. It was quiet, except the ocean fog, like a veil. Mm. Like, it was so like, dude, you could have Oh, come on, there was a better way to flow that. Like, that wasn't even that hard. Like, there weren't even that many words, you know? Rapunzel's hair kept growing, and the nails, it was quiet, set the ocean fall, like a veil, you know? Like, it was, and then, like, what did this hook have to do with anything? I was like, what does Rapunzel have to do with the occluded moons and the mosquitoes biting you and sickle cell? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, like, again, same with idols, really. You get the idea that they're trying to make a very specific point, but you're just digging through, just trying to find, trying to grasp onto, okay, what exactly is the bottom line here? What am I supposed to get from this?
Yeah, yeah. And archaeology, I felt like, was the sort of apex of what this style is, where, like, I really like the instrumental where it sounded like a bunch of clanging, jangling bones clanking in the background while they're, like, you know, rhyming over the shit. But, like, I still kind of felt like I wasn't, didn't I write, like, yeah, I was like, how in the world is this the hook? Yeah, was this the hook where it was like, dig a hole, toss in everything I stole, fake gold, snatch off the pharaoh's bones, book poems, manuscript so old, no one's looking for him, it's triumvirate. I'm like, that was the hook? Because it said that was the hook when I looked it up. I was like, really? Because whereas, like, I like the little sharp flute that kind of came when you heard the little, like, coming in. I think more Mother had the more interesting, like, at this point, I'm just listening for, like, interesting imagery. You know, what will actually, like, stick out of the muck of this, you know, overly lyricizing album, you know. I like the Tuskegee ashes under the gullet tree, under this dome, while we actually, when we oblique beautiful catastrophes. I don't know what we're saying. It sounded cool in the moment. Gang for a Day. Let me see. Again, I like more Mother's, like, inflection. But the jagged delivery just keeps pulling me out. Because I think I like Billy Woods' verse on this. But it was like the jaggedness still kept, like, pulling me from, like, really, you know, making it I want to recommend it. But, like, I liked how he had a bit of a repeating line, but it was kind of like it kind of clarified things a little better, where he says, blood dripped on the star, the blood thicker than water. Mom said, don't let anybody take what's ours. In other words, don't come home without it. I thought she was angry. Now I know it was just fear. And then, every home is a trap house when you think about it. Like, ancestors is there, every room crowded. I was like, oh, shit, all right. And then the gang's all there, the blood's all shared, the love is real, the love is there. I thought she was mad, now I know she was just scared. And I was like, oh, okay, like, that gave me something to, like, you know, demonstrably chew on and think about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you get Mom's Gold, which isn't a song, but I almost wanted to rate it as one because it was so fucking intense with what it was. Like, it was like, I don't know who is mixing it up on the ones and twos with the instrumentation of the production, but it was fucking insane at this point. And they were playing this Mom's Mabley clip, which is like, she's like a very crass, you know, chitlin circuit, like from the 60s style comedian. And like this really old woman, like old by that time. And like, she was old when she started. And like, it's so interesting hearing her talking here because she has that cracking voice. And it could very easily be flipped into something sounding even freakier. And so it's so interesting to hear that and like having that moment of, wait, is that Mom's Mabley? Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, yeah, you can really make her voice sound really, like, you know, really fucked up. But then what she was saying, it's like, it's one of those, like, oh, maybe if you were in the middle of the joke, maybe this would sound funny. But it just sounds dark as fuck. Which is like, I got up to the front of the line, they pushed me back in the rear. And from the evil mean look they had on their face, I said, damn, what am I doing here? And then there was something about, like, I wanted to have my rights, and I wanted to ask for my rights. And then they said, oh, that's right, you can come up here to the lynching tree or something like that. We'll give you your rights. I was like, holy fuck. And
Jesus.
And I was having that moment where, like, wait, yeah, this comedy was probably in, like, the, you know, at earliest, the 60s. So, yeah, women probably still didn't have their rights. Like, it's like, oh, shit. Like, wasn't it, like, the 70s when women could, like, get credit cards and shit? And so it's just like this, well, what is this? And this needed to be explored more, you know? Like, I would have liked if there was actually, like, some raps from More Mother, you know what I'm saying? Talking about, oh, the female plight or something. But it just felt like such a, oh, what was, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, on to the next track. Then we get Chimney. Again, wanted to like it more, especially because of Makami in the third verse. But again, shit is just too cluttered just starting out to really get into it. Let me see. Yeah, what was it? And then I was just like having that moment of like, do I care what he's saying? You know, where it's like, on the map, upside down, fell right in a curse, in an embrace with death, he fell in a hearse, you can't make this up. Well, I guess you can. Arms expand, the real imagined by the imaginary man. And I was like, wait, what? What? He's like, you can't make this up. Well, I mean, I guess I can. I guess I am making it up. Well, anyway, is it? Just undercut your own thing. And then, what was it? Yeah, when the guy's like, this before you fell off, before niggas put you on, this before you started smoking cigarettes and selling raw, Bo don't know nothing about an 8-ball, this before, Topps rookie laminated in the top drawer, this is what you thought a nigga really could win it all, tear the page carefully and tape it to the wall, and he says that twice, and I'm just like, I just don't, like, these are just, they just feel like disembodied phrases after a certain point, where it's just like, why did that matter? Why did that phrase matter? What's going on? You know?
There were a couple times where, like, things were just being repeated. And I was like, why? Like, why is that important?
No. There was some cool, like, lyricism on this, but, no, this wasn't the one I was thinking about. This is the one that ended with, buyer's remorse, for everything that he bought, but he'll still pry the pennies off the eyes of a corpse. And it kind of, like, echoes that at the end. No, it was Scary Hours. Yeah, that was the, honestly, I feel like maybe the best track, but also the most confusing. Ominous imagery and all this eerie, strange shit that he's talking about, like xenophobia in Wakanda. They'll truck you to the Botswana border and tell you you're deported in Kenya, Rwanda. And then there was a bit where he was talking about like disembodied arms in a bag, and it's causing the blood to pool as it's causing all this sort of shit. And it's like, whoa, I don't know what the fuck this means, but that's really interesting. Where is this leading to? You know? And then, like, randomly, there's a singer, John Forte. He just comes into the song singing the most breezy, this should be like, you know, a really, like, cool sort of like, oh, this is the single sort of song. But then he just kind of goes away, and I'm like, oh, I wish that guy would come back. There's, like, a lot of singers that come on this album that are like, oh, is this going to be, like, a normal song? And then it's like, no, it's not. Okay. You know? yeah. And then Guinness. Oh, my God. This one with the one kind of interesting verse where he's like, oh, man, the whole world's in my mobile. It took centuries. And I was like, oh, okay, that's, I guess it's kind of interesting to think about, like, all right, the world's in your palm and a cell phone, and I guess that did take a long time to happen, but you're just kind of experiencing it now, like, oh, that's an interesting general thing, you know? But the flow is just so shaggy and hangdog. In fact, literally, he says everything a little shabbier than it seems, shabbier than it seems, chicken all and came out there. I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's so just like, you need to eat your peas and respect this because it's, you know, really sounded awkward. So that's respectable underground hip hop. You know what I mean? And I'm like, but I don't wanna listen to it. You will sit down and respect this underground hip hop this instant. I was like, no.
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't want me to listen to it. It clearly doesn't.
It keeps shaking me off every time I try to grab on. It's like, no.
It's a fucking dune worm in this fucking bit.
I'm trying to ride this sandworm like at the end of Beetlejuice. And it's like, no.
Right. And then, it's like, this one was like the one kind of interesting verse and this annoying hook. And then the sample of a kind of interesting conversation that doesn't really feel like it ties into anything. It just feels like, it just sounded like, oh, that was interesting. It sounded like, I guess, like some people in, I guess, South Africa maybe trying to talk about their country. It wasn't specific enough and give enough context for me to know what was happening and how it would relate to what he was saying in the song. So it just kind of felt like okay, you know? Then Tiberius, let me see. I think Elucid was really interesting on this one. Yeah, this is the track where you hear like the sound of like splashing water or some shit. Like, as the track starts off, and you hear him at the beginning, he's like, hollowed be my name in my cells, hollow bones shedding scales when my head broke surface through the water. It's like, ooh, okay, so it's kind of like getting the connection there. But again, it's just like splashes of connections, you know what I'm saying? I missed a sea of just, like, general lyrical, spherical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's one part where he says something interesting, where he says, if I could somehow levitate, awaken of my present state as I'm speaking to you now, my surroundings falling further from my feet. I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting thing there. Like, if you were flying, like, you're experiencing the world moving away from you. It's like, whoa.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then, what was this? Yeah, more Mother, where it got to this point where I'm like, okay, I get it. This is respectable lyricism, TM, you know, because it sounds like jagged and awkward, but I'm like, I'm just trying to listen to this and be like, what is there to really connect to what they're saying, right? Mm. So, like, she goes like, the gag is disappearing acts of all his activism, hallowed be thy name in the countries of Lazarus, dead for 4 days and he rose, and they groan in spirit, talk about how you feel it, shit, ain't shit dead when you spin it on your head, pop lock into the dread of what's to come. Say what, son? Think you can go toe-to-toe with where we from? You can't imagine a blacker future than me, forever young, forever in the zone of the one. No Neo, just old soul, Al Green, ashy elbows, Mahalia home from tour, serving black eyed peas out the window. Like, huh? What? What about soul singers with ashy elbows and Mahalia serving black eyed peas? What? How did we get here? What's going on? You know, like, why should I care about what you're saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, I think it's Giraffe Hunts was another one. It's like really complex imagery, I guess. But like, I don't know what it amounts to, you know? Where like, you hear this intro with these really booming drums, really sweet, maybe flute synth line kind of going here, and you're like, ooh, okay, that's kind of cool. And you hear Billy Woods come in, kind of sounds like he's, you know, in the jungles of Vietnam, looking off to the side, you know, he's about to say, you know, eight war hell or something like that. You know, he's like, it's beautiful. The sun, a bruised orange, clouds sparse, sky mauve, the light soft as though filtered through gauze. Like, that imagery, that start off was just, again, that example of like, ooh, shit, I can see the vision of what you're doing with the music, like married to the lyrics, you know what I'm saying? Like I can see the vision, I'm into the thing. And then when it gets into like, the zoo had a decapitated giraffe, a dedicated staff of volunteers, the acid was bad, the gift shop was packed, Congolese hands chopped and dropped in your gift bag, seeping blood turned the gift rat black, Mera weeping out the cracks, sweet king crab, Darwin screaming out of sleep, and in the dream it was a laugh, though, traffic stopped, I reached for my slave pass, slow, quill and ink, brittle parchment, waved through by the sergeant, and I'm like, what? We were at a zoo? And now we're trying to get back into the country? I don't know where we are. Why is there a Congolese hands in your gift bags? What is going on? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck is happening. Oh my god. And then we finally get the portrait. And Navy Blue is kind of good, you know? He had some kind of good lyricism with the, had a vision of me bleeding out metaphorically, the saints marching in, fleur-de-lis, Mona Lisa's eyes set for the region. I like that little, ooh, that little, you know, bouncy flow there. And then, let me see. I think Billy Woods actually had a little bit of oomph in his verse. In this song, actually, where you had the tropical heat, but you still caught the shivers. Uniform changed, but it be the same niggas, the same agendas. Mm. Told my kid, don't let no white man take your picture. I was like, oh, okay.
And like, yeah, I remember that line.
It was like, oh, the way shit. These, yeah, but then he goes, the way these motherfuckers act, maybe you really can take it with you. Mm. I was like, damn. And he's like, I can't call it. Just call the lawyers. Tell the fortune teller, no spoilers. Like, you know, so I like a little bit of character that was happening in this track, you know, by the final track, but it just ended up feeling like a little too late, you know. But I did like how he was kind of rapping in 6-4 at the end there. Like, that was kind of interesting. It was like it wasn't like 3-3. It wasn't like a 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Like, you could feel the beat being a 1-2-3-4 and then a 1-2, 1-2-3-4, 1-2. And so to hear him rapping over that, like, when I realized what was happening, I was like, oh, okay, I can appreciate that. That's kind of cool. You know, I'm not necessarily, you know, thinking of this as like all of this is like enough to be revisitable. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this track mm-hmm. in particular. But like, I have that moment when I get to the end of an album and then I look back and like, okay, what can I, you know, just looking at a track name now, you know, just looking at a track name, track number one, can I actually remember what that sounded like? Did this actually do enough to really stick with me over, you know what I'm saying, the 40 to an hour, you know, minutes that just happened? And right. I'm sorry, but I gotta say it, so much of this is just like, huh, wasn't that just like this track that was just like this track that was just like this track? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so, what did you give it overall? What were you feeling?
I'll be completely honest with you, and if anyone could guess from my complete drop off the face of the earth in the second half of the review, I didn't come to a formal number review because when I tried to actually rank them...
Oh, no, you stop. You have to, I can't finish this shit.
I mean, I couldn't bring myself to honestly do it and, like, have the heart to, you know, have the motivation to be able to give my honest feelings. So, like, I'm probably going to give it, like a...
Just for experience-wise, you know, yeah.
I would say, like, a fair 3, because, like, I enjoyed it for what it was, but I couldn't listen to it again.
Yeah, no, I give it a 3 as well. You're dead to rights on that 3.
Damn! All right!
Oh, my goodness, because, yeah, I really wanted to like it more. And again, like, you know, I'm the hip-hop guy. You know I'm rooting for the, especially the, oh, we're not just trying to do the mainstream shit where it just sounds like pop all the time and just trying to,
right.
You know, try to take hip-hop and make that shit R&B. Nah, this is the real hip-hop. You know, like, I get it. But you gotta give me something. You know, you gotta work with me here. Like, I still like things that sound nice, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I still like things that are trying to engage, and I don't mean nice in terms of like, oh, it's gotta sound like a bright, shiny R&B hook. You know what I'm saying? But it's still gotta sound like, you know, some like it's guiding me from one moment to the next. You know, I feel like there's a good way to do an action movie and a bad way to do an action movie, right? In terms of like, oh, you know, this action, yeah, sure, there's a bunch of action happening, but I feel like my eye isn't able to be guided from one moment to the next in terms of really seeing the fluidity of the motion, because the director's not doing a good enough job of guiding me with that as he's moving the camera and, you know, guiding the players in the film. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's like this is doing a, you know, a solid, you know, it's doing the template of an underground rap album, but it's not having the guidance and intention of really, like, you know, trying to make you really see the vision of what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first time listening to this, I did kind of feel like, man, this feels like next level fucking Wu-Tang Clan. It feels like, you know, some fucking Master Killer shit. You know what I'm saying? When I was first listening to it, but honestly, probably done a little better. And then when I listened back to it, I was like, I feel like I was probably feeling that way because War Mother, honestly, was the real kind of, like, you know, pitch hitter who was coming in and just always doing something a little bit more interesting than you were expecting, you know? But then when I really sat back and looked at the whole picture, I was like, yeah, but do I really want to listen to all of this again? Am I really prompted to go? Because, you know, when I make a best of album, when I make like a best of list and, you know, to be like, hey guys, here's this stuff that's so dope, you got to check it out. You know, I always like to go in like, hey, what's something on this album where I haven't even listened to this album in a minute, but I can just already go to this and be like, I remember how this track sounds and we can definitely throw that one on, you know? And I'm like, legit looking at this track, I'm like, I can't think, like, the most that's sticking out to me is Mom's Gold, and I don't think that's what they would have wanted, you know?
That wasn't their desired intent.
Yeah, because, like, I remember exactly what happens on that track. Everything else, I'm not sure. Like, I think I remember Archaeology, yeah, because that one had a specific sort of feel to it. Archaeology had the jangling bones, Scary Hours was really weird, and Giraffe Hunts. Those and Portraits at the end. Those I feel like were the stickouts for me. Were there anything that like stuck out for you?
No. Dude, don't ask me that. You already know.
You already know what it is. I think that was the other pop dance rap guy. Silento. Although he was basically riffing off that dance, wasn't he? He said, now break your legs, now do the Soulja Boy, now do the other dance that you know. Yeah. It's like, eventually someone's gonna come in and be like, hey, you gotta have your own dance eventually, you can't just... everybody do the Chubby Checker, let's twist again like we did last summer, and like, alright, hold on.
Now do the Cupid Shuffle, now do the Dougie. Like, hey, wait a minute. You can't keep getting away with this.
Before you even say it. Wait, what?
Now do the peppermint twist. No, we remember that one too.
Oh, yeah. What
you can't just reference the sequel hits and think we're not going to remember them. I remember the peppermint twist. God. Get the fuck out of here, Silento. Didn't you try to murder someone with a hatchet?
I can't imagine he's going to be able to, you know, pull up.
He ran into someone's house and tried to murder someone with a hatchet. I don't know. That was the last I ever heard of Salento. It's been radio silence since then for Salento. That's the problem, man. When you, like, cater to, like, a young audience who, like, aren't gonna be, like, ride or die for you, like, they're easily gonna forget about you and jump to the next person as soon as, you know, when as soon as they roll up.
As soon as I Love Memphis comes along, whoever it was that had the other song, hit the quan! Wow, 25th fucking T, Jesus Christ.
15? No! That's impossible! Hit the Quan is almost 10 years old? Ew.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, old school, Emma.
Oh, God.
You can
hurts.
Yeah, you can feel yourself crusting over.
So is it, I like old school hip hop, and they say I like
fucking Soulja Boy, young, you know what I mean? Young LA.
Who fucking did Black Beatles?
Oh Lord. Ray Shrimmer.
Ray Shrimmer. Yeah.
Oh my
old
god,
rap
that
head.
Was a while ago. Holy shit.
I ain't got no type. I like old school rap. You're like, you turn to dust.
You hit that Mr. Krabs intro on that episode. 'Cause you're old. You've got 14 chins. 'Cause you're old.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Anyway, well, folks.
That about does it for this week's Going Off.
Whoa! You're stealing my lines now!
Whoa,
I don't know how I feel about
we're
that.
It up.
Whoa! We got the Eddie Vedder bit. Remember that one? Anyone remember that?
Anything can happen on Going Off, you guys. It's
and
not
it usually
a, you know,
does, but, yeah, but not yeah, every time, so don't get yeah, used to
yeah.
it.
So you gotta, yeah.
But all our links are in the description, our link trees and whatnot.
Patreon, patreon.com/rapcritica. If you want to get on, head on over there, you can hear the new songs that I'm going to be uploading. I'm also going to be doing a Patreon game night that's going to be at least a once a month thing going forward with the video game freestyles as well as, you know, music nights. That was really fun. We had a music night where we just, like, listened to some shit on a queue up where it was kind of like, you know, one person listened to music and then someone can kind of throw something else in. So we got a whole bunch of fun stuff going on over the RC Discord. You know what I'm saying? Hit your boy up to hear the music that I be working on. You know, I'm going to at least, like I said, try to release one track once a month, every other month in between intermittent Rap Critic episodes and review a new podcast on the Rap Critic Patreon, as well as Ko-fi.com/Rap Critic, where you can make requests for live stream stuff, because that's what mostly people seem to be doing at this current juncture. The stuff comes out faster when I'm doing the live stream, so I get it, you know. But yeah, the prices are reduced right now. Instead of $10, it's $8 for a song if you want to request it, and half off for patrons, as well as it was $50 for an album or best of request, and now it's $30, and again, half off for patrons. So get with it, act like you want it, and until next time, I'm
yep.
Rap Critic.
And I'm Muse.
And you see it, you need it, you dream it, you want it, you see it, you need it, you dream it, you want it. that's the hook of the song that I'm doing. The private song that's on the, you know.
Just a sneak peek.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, head on over there
Whoa.
For the rest, you feel me?
All right.
Nice and taut.